You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Chubby, chunky, extra fluffy, or even full-figured. These are all terms I use when giving physical examinations to my clients' pets. But you get the idea. These are all ways of saying their pet is fat. Obesity is affecting our pets in epidemic proportions. Now, obesity is defined as being 20% over your body's ideal weight. So, why are pets battling the bulge just like so many of their owners? Now, there are a myriad of causes. You're listening to Pet Life Radio and The Pet Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Our guest today is Dr. Georgette Wilson of Pfizer Animal Health. Now, we'll be discussing why our pets are getting overweight, the problems associated with this extra heft, how to recognize if your pet is fat and not fluffy, and ways in which you can help it slim down. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Our guest today is Dr. Georgette Wilson. She received her degree in veterinary medicine from Cornell University, and she's been with Pfizer Animal Health since 2003. Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I see too many of my clients coming in themselves being a little on the chunky side and too many of their pets being chunky. How common is obesity in America's pets?
Well, the latest figures that we have is that 40% of dogs in the United States are classified as either overweight or obese. And putting that into numbers, people estimate that to be about 17 million dogs.
That's a lot of dogs. Now, are cats affected as badly as dogs?
Cats are affected almost to the same degree as dogs. And again, there's the issue of not having enough exercise for cats because they're mostly indoors. And that's one of the problems that we see in dogs as well.
It's so much safer for them to be indoors. But yes, I agree. Kitties wake up and what do? Eat, sleep, poop, sleep some more. So
what a life, right?
And yeah, tough life. I'm my two cats. So yeah, definitely I want to be coming back as them. Now, how can a pet owner tell if their pet's overweight, because they see their pet every day and they go, it's not fat. You know, it's just maybe fluffy. How can they tell?
Sometimes for dogs, it can be a little bit challenging because there's so many differences in the sizes of dogs and the breeds. But one of the ways that we've approached this is, or veterinarians have approached this, is using what's called a body condition score. And I guess that's similar to a body mass index for people, where you try to standardize what a pet should look like. And in doing a body condition score for their dogs, what a pet owner should do is kind of feel around their body. It's not just looking at them. It's actually putting their hands on their pets and feeling them.
And we what should say, they feel?
Well, one of the things we tell them to feel is around the ribs area. So they should be able to feel individual ribs, but they shouldn't be able to see them. And then also, they could check around the back. You should you shouldn't feel too much fatty tissue on the back. And also, if you're actually just looking at the dog, let's say you're looking at your dog from the top down, it should have a nice waist or so.
So kind of like us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And but mostly it's all about, you know, actually feeling the dogs. And if owners take their dogs to the veterinarian, the veterinarian is trained to do these type of exams and can tell the owner whether or not their dog is obese or overweight.
I know sometimes people come in going, oh, I found these tumors on my dog. And oftentimes yeah. there's this little fat, there's firm masses right
yes,
in front
I used
of their
to
hips.
Hear that.
And people are going, it's a tumor, going, well, gee, your body is really talented because there's a tumor on both sides of the body at the same place.
Yes.
And in actuality, that's fat. And how can that be? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they're really yes. horrified when I tell them their pet's overweight. And oftentimes, well, how can it be? I'm only feeding this dog or the cat the best food out there. What's wrong with that train of thought?
We hear that a lot, and approaching obesity with a client can be very concerning for a veterinarian, because we understand that pet owners love their pets. And what happens with people is, you know, we love our pets, so we indulge them, and we know that dogs love to eat, and so we feed them. And even if, regardless of what we're feeding them, if we feed them too much and we don't give them enough exercise, these dogs will become overweight and obese. So veterinarians are trying to look out for the best health for the patient, in this case the dog, and trying to express to the owner that being overweight or obese is not just about how a dog looks. It's about a dog's quality of life and health.
One of the things that's so difficult, Dr. Wilson, I know that you've been in clinical practice too, is too many times the owner's sitting there and they're definitely overweight, so is trying to do that politically correct statements of, gee, your pet's overweight, and oh, by the way, you're overweight. The
yes.
other thing that I also hear is too many times people say, oh, I'll just fill up the bowl and just let him eat, because, you know, my mom always said, or I've always heard, that a pet's not going to overeat. Do you agree with that?
I don't, and you know, we are trying to tell pet owners, and especially starting when dogs are puppies, to say, you know, dogs should be fed only a certain amount of food. It depends on, you know, the size of the dog and the dog's activity level, but your veterinarian is the best person to tell you exactly how much of a specific diet a pet owner should be giving their dogs.
Is it better to feed them once a day or twice a day?
It depends on the dog. Typically, most people agree that it's better to feed twice a day. There are some dogs that, even if you feed them twice a day, they'll only eat once a day. But typically, most dogs do better when they're fed twice a day. Some dogs, even three times a day, depending on the dogs. A lot of the smaller breed dogs may need to be fed smaller amounts more, you know, more frequently. But
I usually tell people that little dogs are almost like little sports cars. They have two speeds,
exactly.
boom, boom, and
yeah, high metabolism.
And they have a little gas tank. They can't hold a lot of food. So, yes, I totally agree that especially those little kids or the ones that are really, really active may need to have more than two meals a day.
Correct, yes. And the thing is, it's looking at portions. And, you know, again, as with people, it's all about, you know, calories ingested and calories burnt off. So, you know, some people say, I'm feeding my dog a light diet, but they may be feeding too much of the light diet, and it kind of negates the whole purpose of feeding the light diet in the first place. So it's important to pay attention not only to, you know, how much is in the bowl, but the type of food that they're feeding as well.
What can be so frustrating for, I think, a lot of veterinarians and pet owners alike is when you look at the package of dog food or cat food and it says, okay, your pet weighs this much and it should be eating 12 cups of food a day. Any comments about what the labeling is on a lot of these pet foods?
Well, we do know that for each dog, the metabolisms are so different, even for the same breed and same size dog. And it's, I guess it's similar to people as well, where you really have to look at the individual dog. We use the guidelines from the pet foods as a very rough estimate, but it's up to the owner and the veterinarian to really understand how much that dog needs. And what I used to tell clients is, you know, you can start out by feeding what's on the label. And every 2 weeks or so, kind of check your dog's weight and check the body condition score to see if that's actually too much or maybe even too little for the dog. And again, it goes down to variations for dogs and also what that dog's activity level is.
I really agree with you because it can be so frustrating. Sometimes what I'll tell clients is that, you know, a person your size could eat maybe 2,000 calories a day according to government standards. And you know that if you ate that much, you wouldn't make it through the door in about a week.
Yes.
Are there low-cal treats that people can give, well, let's talk about dogs, that people can give their dogs? Because giving treats is definitely giving love, and we want to give them something. Sometimes we feel so guilty because we've been working all day, didn't get a chance to get home and take them for a walk. So, okay, here's a treat. Are there some good treats out there, Dr. Wilson?
Typically, we say if they can, if pet owners can get low-calorie kibble for their dogs and give just a handful, and also giving them low-calorie biscuits and vegetables as well. Some dogs really like the vegetables. It's something that can take them a long time, and they get the crunching sensation as well. So like carrots or celery, something like that.
People are oftentimes amazed when I tell them, you know, give your dog a carrot, going, but that's people food. I thought we weren't supposed to give people food. And it's like, that's not really people food. Yes. That's a base ingredient. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's the one exception, correct.
Yeah, something that they can do. And you also talked a little bit about these low-calorie foods. There's so many that are out there. You know, a person will put their dog or cat on these low-calorie foods, and after a year of being on this food, there hasn't been a difference. Speculation as to why? Is it just a matter they're putting in too much food into these dogs and cats and not getting enough exercise?
From what we found, the too much food and not enough exercise is the main cause of the problem. But there are some dogs that actually have underlying medical conditions contributing to their weight problem. And that's where, you know, if a pet owner notices that their dog is not losing weight or even gaining weight on a low-calorie food, we recommend that we make sure that there's no underlying cause for the obesity. Also, we do know that a lot of the low-calorie foods are low in fat, and we do know that there's a certain amount of fat that's needed in a diet to make a dog feel full. You know, speak to anybody who's on a low-fat diet, they may tell you that I'm always hungry because
it's
they never feel satisfied.
Too.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with some of the low-calorie foods. And so it may be just that the dog does not feel full and tends to eat more of that diet, and it contributes more to the weight gain.
I'll oftentimes tell people that, gee, even though you're giving low-calorie treats, when you give a whole box of low-calorie treats to your dog in one day, you know that's probably going to be a bit too much.
Absolutely.
Like you and I eating a whole carton of low-fat ice cream. It's still that whole thing of low-fat ice cream. I think another real problem that people have is, and I have to admit, when I had my small dog, I did it too. She sat there underneath the table when I was eating meals, and it's, okay, just a little bit more, and found out that I wasn't the only one that was doing it. The whole family was doing it. Any suggestions, Dr. Wilson, of what people can do if they just can't stop giving their dog yummies at the table?
Well, yeah, we actually did research. We spoke to pet owners, and we were trying to find correlations between what was going on in the household and, you know, the obesity in their pets. And we found out that dogs that tended to be around the kitchen or dining room either during food preparation or dinner time tended to be the dogs that were the most overweight. So as cruel as it sounds, sometimes it's best to make sure that dog is not even around to, you know, during mealtime. And I know some people say that's, you know, my dog whimpers and everything, but in the end, that's probably the best thing for your dog. And also, what we're trying to highlight to people is that there are other ways to reward your dog. So, you know, you can give your dog a treat, and we know that dogs love food and love treats, but a treat for a dog may be going out and playing ball or frisbee, going swimming, or even going for a walk around the neighborhood. So, you know, if you feel guilty about kind of putting your dog away, you know, when it's mealtime, you can reward your dog later by going out for a walk, and that kind of benefits everyone in the family.
That's a great idea. You walk, the dog walks, and probably everyone's going to lose some weight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, another thing we also tell anyone who has a dog on a diet is to make sure that neighbors are aware of that too, because sometimes a dog is very smart and they go to the neighbor's house and look for food as well. So it's important that dogs that have access to other people's homes, those people know that their dog is on some kind of diet or a calorie restriction.
My practice is in an area called Leisure World. So it is a closed community of seniors. And all these dogs are out there walking, and people say, yes, what I finally had to do was tell all my neighbors and go ahead and set them up with little carrots or whatever else. Because the dog would walk up to the house like trick or treat going, hello, I'm here for my treat. And really was put off that there is no treat. So I think that's good.
Oh, yeah. They learn really fast.
Oh, they do. Too smart for our own good. You had mentioned earlier on, Dr. Wilson, that there are a lot of health issues associated with pets being overweight. What are some of those?
Well, I think some of the ones that the pet owners can really see are things like joint problems, like arthritis. You know, when you see a limping dog, most people think that, oh, you know, my dog is just getting older, my dog has arthritis. A dog that has arthritis and is also obese, they can really benefit from losing weight. They don't even have to even get to, what we consider an ideal body weight. Even losing some weight makes a big difference. We also know that certain types of heart disease and certain types of breathing problems we see more commonly in overweight or obese dogs.
I'm always so afraid when a chunky pet comes in and I need to put them under anesthesia, for instance, to clean their teeth. There have been times when I've told clients, okay, this procedure really needs to be done, but your pet is at such a higher risk of having anesthetic complications and giving me gray hair while watching this kid under anesthesia. Let's go ahead, get some weight off that pet first, and then do the procedure. It's going to be so much safer.
Yes, I can definitely relate. I used to say the same thing when I was in practice to clients where, you know, you're looking at a dog that needs surgery, yet it's a high risk, and so you're kind of caught in a really bad situation. And so we try to stress that if we can delay a surgery and for the dog to lose weight, that's the best thing, but sometimes we don't even have that option, and that's what makes it very difficult for us.
Well, I've been talking with Dr. Georgette Wilson of Pfizer Animal Health about chubby pets. When we return, she'll be telling us about a revolutionary new medication to help your dog slim down.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
My guest today is Dr. Georgette Wilson of Pfizer Animal Health. Now, it seems as though pudgy pets and pudgy people are going hand in paw. Is there a relationship you found in your studies to having plump people and a rotund rover?
We weren't specifically looking for that in some of the studies, but we did see that there was a definite trend where pets that tend to be overweight, we did see a trend where some of the owners were also overweight or obese as well.
It's a sad situation. You're saying it's just a lack of exercise. If you have a cat, are there things that you can do to try and get that kitty to slim down? You can try to take it for a walk around the block, but most of the time the cats are going to go, yeah, next. Suggestions
yes,
for those kitties?
Well, I will say that probably diet control is the most important. And what we recommend is that any pet owner that has an overweight or obese cat to go see the veterinarian. You know, there's certain other clinical issues that we have to deal with when cats lose weight. So it's important that any pet owner who has a cat who's trying to get that cat to lose weight do so under the supervision of a veterinarian.
I know a real problem with a fat cat because their metabolism is so different than dogs. And for the longest time, veterinarians, before we've learned more about a cat's metabolism, really tried to treat cats as little dogs and dogs as little people. And sometimes people say, okay, here's a food, give it to a dog. The dog doesn't want it. You know, if you have some tough love and just don't feed it for 24 hours, it'll finally say, fine, I'll eat that food. Mm-hmm. But there's real problems trying to do that with a cat, either trying to put them on a food they don't like or really, really cut down on the amount of food that you're giving them, because cats will mobilize the fat many times in their body, deposit it into their liver, then become jaundiced, yellow. So hepatolipidosis, fancy term I was trying to think of, hepatic lipidosis, fat liver disease, can really be a problem. So I totally agree with you, Dr. Wilson, that if a person's trying to put their cat on a diet in particular, you really need to do it slowly and under a doctor's supervision.
Yes, what I tell clients too is that some cats seem to do better on high protein, low carbohydrate diet, similar to what, you know, we think of as an Atkins-like diet as well. And again, that's not the best diet for all cats, but it's something that, you know, pet owners with cats can talk to their doctors about.
So it's kind of like a Catkins diet instead of Atkins
diet.
Exactly. Now, I kind of teased people before we went on the break, telling them about a new medication that Pfizer has come out with to help pets lose weight. What is that?
The new medication is called Slentrol, and it was approved by the FDA early this year, and it's been on the market since the springtime. We're very excited about it because just the approval itself by the FDA alone really highlights the problems that we're having with canine obesity and the frustrations that we know dog owners are experiencing.
Dr. Wilson, I know that there is a new over-the-counter medication called Ally, and how is that similar to Slentrol? Are they the same at all?
Well, I really want to highlight that Slentrol and Ally work very differently. Ally works by preventing digestion of fat. And when you prevent the digestion of fat, what tends to happen is fat actually stays in the intestinal tract, and all the fat that's eaten comes out, and it causes a lot of undesirable side effects. And I know people who remember, you know, the commercials from several years ago probably won't forget, you know, some of the side effects as far as inability to control
greasy blowout diarrhea.
Exactly.
Yes. I think I'd rather be overweight than have that problem. Thank you very much. Are there any possible side effects to Slentrol?
There are side effects with Slentrol, but in general, it's well tolerated by dogs. Probably the more common side effect that's seen in dogs is vomiting. When we did clinical studies, there were about one in four dogs that did experience vomiting at least once, but this is over the course of treatment, which in this study was 4 months. And I think anyone who's treated dogs knows that dogs vomit for different reasons, but it did happen in some of the studies. There were a few dogs that did experience loose stools, and some dogs did experience what the owner thought was a lethargy or so.
Probably because they just weren't begging at the table as much as they were otherwise. Like, ah, I'm not hungry.
Exactly.
I can just sleep. Now, is Slentrol very expensive?
Well, Slentrol,
I know it's relative.
Cost, it's relative because, it depends on the price, depends on the size of the dog, as with any medication. So, you know, we're treating anywhere from Chihuahuas on up to Great Danes. But in general, the average dog going over the average course of treatment will cost the owner about $1 to $2 per day.
That's not too bad, especially if you have that overweight pet. And just think of all the money you're saving with a pet food. So
absolutely. And this is a lifelong drug. This is something that we anticipate most dogs will be on it for several months.
Okay. So it is going to take some time for them to lose weight. It's not just going to literally roll off their bodies.
It will take time, and we actually want it to take time. We know that when, similar to people, when dogs lose weight too fast, they tend to lose muscle over fat, and that's the last thing that we want to do with dogs. or people as well, because we know that, you know, at the end of therapy, if you tend to lose more muscle, that means you have a lower metabolism, and so you'll tend to put weight back on much faster. And we showed in the clinical studies that we did with Slensual was that dogs maintain their muscle mass, and what they lost is the fat, which is exactly the way you want to do it. So these dogs lost, who were on Slensual, lost weight at a rate that the clinical nutritionists tell us is the safest rate to lose weight.
Now, is Slensual only available through a veterinarian? Can they get it online at their pet stores? How do they obtain it?
You know, Slensual will only be available through veterinarians. We understand that, you know, treating obesity is important. We know that there are some dogs that aren't the most ideal candidates for Slensual. So we're recommending that pet owners go to the veterinarian, have their dogs evaluated to see if they're overweight or obese, and to have the veterinarians let them know if they're a candidate for Slensual. But this is something that's only available through veterinarians.
Great. Now, are there safety measures that a person and a veterinarian together as this health team should look into before starting a pet on Slensual? Any particular, should they do blood work routinely, for instance?
Doing blood work is at the discretion of the veterinarian. It depends on the overall health of the dog. While we recommend that blood work should be done, it's not absolutely necessary for each dog. But if the veterinarian suspects that the dog is obese or overweight because of a different medical problem, or condition, or if there's some other illness that should be addressed, you know, like liver disease, kidney disease, anything like that, that's something that blood work will help veterinarians know whether the dog or not is you know, healthy enough to be on any medication, especially Slensual.
Once a pet has started Slensual, do they just go home with their box of medication, or is there routine monitoring of the pet?
There is routine monitoring. With Slensual, owners will have to come back monthly. And again, I mentioned before that we know individual dogs have different, you know, metabolic rates, and they're going to respond differently to the medication. But what's great about Slensual is when owners come back in every month, the dose of Slensual is adjusted so that these dogs lose weight at a steady and reliable rate. And that's something that's a unique feature to this product. But I point out to pet owners that if you're going to have any successful weight loss program, you really have to have a lot of follow-up, and even a dog that's on diet and exercise should be coming back to the veterinarian periodically to have that that program tailored.
Our little Weight Watchers, we have to keep coming in getting weighed.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why Weight Watchers is so successful. It's that follow-up. It's not just the one time. It's the follow-up and having the relationship of, you know, the in this case, the pet owner, veterinarian, and the patient.
Well, Slensual sounds like a fantastic product for dogs, because I know there's many, many dogs in my own practice. I do have dogs on it right now. People have been extremely happy. But the question a lot of people have, because they have dogs and, oh, by the way, fat cats, is there anything in the pipeline working to try and get a Slensual-type product for chubby cats?
Well, I will point out first that Slensual is not the product for cats, in case somebody has that idea, because people will sometimes wonder if it works, you know, it works really well on my dog and I'm thinking about using it for my cats. Slensual is not for cats. I believe Pfizer and other companies are looking into opportunities for looking at products for cats. But as you mentioned before, we know that weight loss in cats is a difficult area. So, and I know companies are going to be looking at the best product that has that works and is also really safe. But I'm not aware of anything that Pfizer's doing specifically. I hope
you
they are somewhere.
There's too many cats that need it. Now, you
exactly.
mentioned that cats can't take Slensual. And I know a lot of people are listening to this going, well, a lie, you know, all those side effects. She don't want to do that. I wonder if I can take Slensual along with my dog. Can people take Slensual?
Thanks for mentioning that, because I was going to get to that. Absolutely not. Slensual is only labeled for use in dogs. And I point out to people that cats are not small dogs, and people, Slensual works differently in cats than it does in dogs. And it also works differently in people than it works in dogs. So while Slensual is a safe product in dogs, it does have side effects in people. So this is why we're telling people that, you know, they can get side effects from it if they do take it themselves.
Okay, so good thing I can tell all my clients, no, this is not for you. This is just for your dog. If
Absolutely.
People want to learn more about Slentrol, where can they go to get more information besides their veterinarian?
They can log on to www.slentrol.com, and there's a consumer website that's on that where clients can get information. And these include clients that are curious about the products, clients that are already have their pets on the products too. So it really gives a comprehensive overview of the product and details.
Well, Dr. Wilson, I really appreciate you taking your time today. You've given us some great tips on how we can get our couch potato pets to help slim down. So for everyone listening, with appropriate exercise and attention to proper nutrition, you can add years to your pet's life. Obesity is a preventable disease, 100%. The battle of the bulge takes the cooperation of all members of the family. And remember, your pet didn't get chubby overnight, and it's going to take some time and patience to return your pet to optimal health. Need help in determining if your pet is fit or fat? Just ask your veterinarian. And why should you care? Because it's your pet. Health matters. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.